So would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Natalie Bergman.
And I'm Elliot Bergman, and we're Wild Bell.
I'm just gonna go straight to the one that's number four here, because I'm gonna cheat. So as I'm doing my research this morning, 50% of the blogs, they may or may not be siblings. And I'm thinking, what are you guys, there's only one White Stripes in the world, and there really was never a need even for that. So now what I need, even though we're not doing video this time, is I need your birth certificates at this exact moment in time, and I need definitive proof that you are related and there's no secret love affair going on here, so we can just kill the bloggers from moment one.
I think that if you look at our brow, we're clearly from the same family. It's funny because no one wants that White Stripes kind of ideal. We're happy to just say we're siblings and get the picture.
Go away.
I just barfed a little when you said secret lover, so I don't know if that's good enough evidence, but we're definitely from the same mother and father, and we've got some other siblings as well that have a rival band. They play bluegrass and like old-timey tunes, and our other sister plays stand-up bass and our little brother plays banjo, so...
You know, you could always, as a third project, Secret Lover could be your second band, right?
That's a good...
You could record covers under Secret Lover.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Can we use that?
Yeah. To most of the audience, this is, you know, you're very new. And there's, quote, Buzz, which we'll get to, and Buzz is wonderful. You know, I'll fill a couple of things in for you. Obviously, there's a band, Nomo, there, you know, you're not exactly new to music. You know, it's not like you came out of the toothpaste thing and, boom, okay, we're making music. So can each of you fill in a few blanks of some things just in general that might be relevant?
We grew up in a very musical family. My mother was always playing guitar, finger picking. She had a cool style, played a lot of Joni Mitchell, and a great jazz pianist. And so she was, you know, it's just, we were surrounded by the musicality of our mother. And growing up, you know, we had always sort of listened to music, listened to records together. I sang on a couple of his tracks on his records. But, you know, this is, we kind of came together with both of our musical ideas about a year ago and decided to make this record. We've been back and forth between Brooklyn and Benton Harbor, Michigan, which is where we've been recording the record. Really, we've been producing this record together, just Elliot, me, and Bill Skibbe, who owns the studio there, and it's a complete album. I don't think too many people know that we don't.
We're gonna get there,
it's
yes.
Not just the single right now, but there are a few bits of information.
Chicago to Brooklyn, and you know, and again, danger zone, right? Uh-oh, they're a Brooklyn band. Can you tell me what precipitated you moving, you know, and kind of having a home base there?
I think that New York is, it's a city of energy and darkness. There's a real darkness there, but there's a real beauty. And if you can survive in this sort of chaos and insanity of that city, you start to see all of the beauties of it, and that can be really inspiring for writing music, and just you're surrounded, or hopefully when you're there you can find the people that you want to surround yourself with. And luckily we've found a nice community there, and Chicago I like to identify with as always being home base. You know, I like to say we're a Chicago band, because that's where all of the music that we grew up on, that, you know, it's like we formed our style in Chicago, and now I think that we're just happy to be in Brooklyn.
In terms of the quote community in Brooklyn, there's a lot of communities in Brooklyn, right? So can you tell me a little bit more about
Sure. I mean, that community was kind of a big draw for me because I was spending, you know, like 6 to 8 months a year on the road with Nomo, and then I'd kind of come home to Chicago and just sort of, you know, try to be productive. But the draw of New York, it really is the community. I I work at this place called Zebulon in Williamsburg, and I book the bands there and kind of help run the bar. And
that's a cool place.
That's that. For me, that's been sort of like the linchpin of the community. It's like, I love playing there. I love the bands that play there, and I love the people that run the place. So Zebulon's kind of been like a big part of my musical life and my social life. It's a kind of home for us in New York, and we played our first show in New York there. So that's one thing. And then there's really also a like wonderful like artistic community, and it's been fun to just be in New York and have. There's just these amazing opportunities of proximity. You know, it's like who you see at the bar, who you're bumping into on the street. You know, and it's fun. It is inspiring to just sort of be surrounded by all these people who are real artists and making real art, and they're doing it in these really unusual ways. And they have to figure out how to kind of grapple with the constraints of living in the city, but. I've been able to do some really fun projects I did this great project with my friend Peter Coffin, and we made this like giant steamroller music box. It's like an actual steamroller that drives around on, plays this sort of giant electric kalimba that I built. Yeah, we're gonna fire it up and take it down to the beach, I think, this summer.
But sounds good. Down to Brighton Beach.
Yeah, Brighton Beach, sounds just steamroll on it.
Yeah, me too.
But so.
I know what I'm doing this summer.
There's just those things where you're like, okay, that's totally insane, and how did that happen? Well, I think part of it is just that you're kind of like surrounded by these people that are doing creative things, and you figure out ways to make it work. So I ended up working in a metal shop for like the first 6 months that I lived in New York, and it was very dangerous, very poor paying job, and I'm glad that I don't work there anymore, but... you know, that was a whole other scene. There's all these little different enclaves there in New York that have like such amazing things happening. So,
okay, I'm gonna go the evil route for a second, because I love quotes and I love pulling quotes out of context. But this one's in context, and there's gonna be so much of this. So maybe we can clear this up really fast. I'm gonna do it in the full on. This is from The Guardian. If you're looking for the new Lana Del Rey, look no further. Here's a band that bloggers from Brighton to Brooklyn will drool over. So there's going to be a lot of that. And so early on, how are you going to kind of say, okay, look, this is not what you think. We're not, you know, and again, what's really interesting about Lana Del Rey is that she's gotten such amazing success in the UK. where they're used to The Guardian writing this up. And then the U.S., of course, pans her, and then she clears things up and says, look, I wrote the songs, my album's selling. You can say anything you want about me. At this point, yeah, sure, it hurts, but I don't really care.
Any comparison that one might draw between us and Lana Del Rey or us and any other musician is unavoidable. We can't help that. And so I think, you know, we know about Lana Del Rey. She's a beautiful girl. She's doing her thing. We're not really a part of her scene. But you know, what can you say? The music is completely different. And I guess any sort of prejudices one might have at this point is only because, you know, we've released one single. And then there's the side B that is still sort of being discovered, which is Take Me Away. So I guess really in order to sort of put a better picture in people's brains about Wild Bell, we just have to do what we're doing right now. Get out there and perform and play live shows and just sort of teach people about what we're trying to do in the world. And we've got... we've got some strong artistic visions and we've got some great tunes. And so touring is how I think you can eliminate the stereotype of Wild Bell or, you know, maybe enhance what they might say. I think that people's judgments, I want people's judgments to come after they've seen us live. Then I want to hear what they have to say.
And to be clear, this is a band. This is not a couple standing on stage, whether it's sister, brother, or whatever, right?
Right. I mean, there's plenty of people that can make things work with, you know, whatever backing tracks and sequencing, but we really love playing with the guys in the band, and they're people that I've played with in Nomo for years, and so we have a real kind of chemistry and a real strong dynamic. You know, they're like our brothers, you know, so it's been amazing to kind of, we sort of went in and made the record, and then now we're sort of figuring out how to implement everything live, and so we're playing catch up, but I think we're already kind of, I think we're caught up here, and we've just been really having a fun time with the live shows, and it's great to just kind of get in front of new audiences, and really people haven't heard any of the songs yet, so they're seeing it live for the first time and hearing this music, and it's the response has been very encouraging and positive.
So the mystery record, because now when is it due to come out?
We would like to say that it's coming out in the summertime because it has a very summery kind of island feel, but we have not. We're figuring out who the team is that we want to work with, you know, who we'll be releasing it with, and so I'd love to release it in the summer, but I think practically we're going to be releasing it in the late summer, early fall. You know, we're going back to the studio after South By and just tweaking a few of the mixes, and then we're gonna bring it into mastering and.
So this really is. I'm really am capturing you at that work in progress mode.
Yes, you are. But we're wrapping things up. We got to get the album artwork together, but it's a completed album, and hopefully late summer will be the arrival of Wild Bell.
So tell me a little bit about some of the songs, and I'm not saying, well, we wrote a song about trees, and we wrote a song about poison, and we wrote a song about carpet with weird squares on it. You know, that's not. But you mentioned summer, and, you know, again, people have two songs to go by. So what was in your heart and your souls, and as you're writing these songs, which I imagine you write them together?
The songs on the record have been written over the past several years. Some of them were written 6 months ago. Some of them were written 2 years ago. But most of the content, the lyrical content, is love stories, personal love stories to me. You know, heartbreak, men that have broken my heart.
I can't imagine. That's never happened to me. I mean, not men that have broken my heart, but.
But then men's hearts that I've broken.
Okay, good.
So there's, yeah, there's some ache and there's some vengeance, I suppose. But we sort of brought this lyrical content into the studio and developed it with the instrumentation that's on the record, and the instrumentation varies a lot because we're in the studio that has amazing resources. The keyboards they have there, it's like a keyboard paradise. They have every keyboard you want to use, every beautiful instrument you'd like to play, and so, you know, there's a lot of emotion in these songs. I think I'm trying to get to your point. The songs, yeah, they've been written over a series of events and a number of years, and now we've just sort of honed in on this sort of emotional, nostalgic sound because the songs are very emotional and nostalgic to me.
But tell me about Benton Harbor, because one of the things that I read, and I just saw this amazing documentary on Detroit, because I really didn't know quite the level that, like, 60% of Michigan, you know, is just this desolate, insanely, you know, empty, crazy, wacky place. You took the songs, but then you put them through a filter to a certain extent of the atmosphere you were in, too, as you were producing this record, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, Benton Harbor there's a lot of parallels with Detroit, and, you know, it's sort of like there's this sort of like nice resort town just to the south of there, and then Benton Harbor's across the St. Joseph River, and it's just like a completely different thing. All the buildings on Main Street, like literally most of the buildings on Main Street are vacant, and like some are kind of collapsing, the roof's caved in, you know. The State Theater is empty. You know, the marquee's up, but nobody's home. And so there's just this sort of, it is desolate, but it's a weird combination of elements because it's right on Lake Michigan, and it's really one of the most, like, beautiful places in the country, actually. There's, like, these beautiful kind of sweeping sand dunes, and it's very kind of picturesque lighthouses and stuff, but there's just sort of this abject poverty smashed right up against that. And so it is kind of a place of stark contrasts and sort of some jarring realities. So, you know, we kind of, it's funny, when we're mixing, we listen in the van. So we mix in the studio, and then kind of every night after the mix is getting there, we kind of go out and listen to a few different mixes in the van and drive around. And, you know, Bill will say, okay, you know, that house there is for, you could buy that house for $1,000. You could buy that building, you know, that's like on the corner of Main Street for $20,000, you know, and they were able to kind of get this amazing space and build it out, and you know, they I think the government was kind of doing some things to try to get some artists to move in, and the town is sort of like, there is some new energy there, and there's a lot of kind of artistic people that are moving there and saying, you know, this is really an amazing place, and let's try to build some community there. So that's something that's exciting. There's, you know, new restaurants opening, and people are doing a little microbrew, and, you know, so there's a lot of interesting things happening in Benton Harbor now.
And then there was Los Angeles, which I love the quote that was in one of the LA LA newspapers. LA apparently cited a near riot.
It was just fun. It was like, it feels like there is really a great, like, young music scene in LA. And so we were kind of hanging out at the merch table after the show, and people just kept coming up and being like, yeah, we play Keep You at Our House Party every weekend. And, you know, so it was this sort of, like, funny.
Well, at that point, well, I guess we just released it on iTunes at that point, but it was funny because we had an interview a few weeks before that, and the dude was like, oh yeah, we've been playing that at our house parties, and I'm like, you're not supposed to have that song yet. How the hell did you get that, you know?
Yeah.
But the Echoplex was fun. I think the riot that they're referring to was just the massive line out the door. It was a big show. I think it was anticipated for Chick 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 fans who we were playing with. And also, I'd like to say that we pulled in a bunch of people. That was a fun show. You know, it's a rock club, so the sound was just so boomy. I like loud bass, but I felt like the whole stage was just completely rattling, and it was hard to hear ourselves, but, you know, that's just a different environment. You play rock clubs. But it was a fun show. That was a really fun show.
Did I hear a rumor about something about Sly Stone? Speaking of the Bay Area?
Yeah, Bill Skibbe, who runs the studio Key Club in Benton Harbor, has Sly Stone's old Flickinger mixing console, which is just like this amazingly funky, like, thick sounding console. And so our whole record has been recorded on that board, and we mix on that board too. So it's kind of fun to have that spirit of Sly lurking around the studio a little bit. But Bill is really kind of like this crazy electronics genius, and so he's figured out he can basically copy anything and make a new version of it. But the Sly board is cool. It's got like black light orange, you know, numbers and dials and stuff, and it looks like this sort of 70s spaceship kind of thing.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.